In our remaining minutes tonight, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. I've made it my practice for several years to try to read through the book of Daniel at least twice a year. And the first time, do a full reading all the way through. The second time, I go a little bit slower because as a Christian, I need to know what is on God's timetable. I need to be aware, and the book of Daniel gives a tremendous amount of detail. It's the basis upon which the book of Revelation is built, because it refers back to Daniel over and over again in the prophecies that are given throughout the book of Revelation. But there was something that caught my eye in this last chapter, and Daniel chapter 12 is one of my favorite chapters because it deals with the resurrection and gives us a little bit of information concerning the resurrection of those that will come prior to the 7-year tribulation, as well as those that are resurrected after the tribulation period that will go into the millennial kingdom. But I want to read the first 7 verses here because I think it's important for us to understand something that's recorded here in the Bible of an angel asking a question of Jesus. There Daniel is meeting with Christ. They're on the banks of the Tigris River. And all of a sudden, 2 angels appear, one on either side of the Tigris River, and one of them asks the Lord a question as the Lord is speaking with Daniel. And this is so intriguing to me because the Lord responds to the angel's question and gives further detail, which raises questions in Daniel's mind. And then Christ turns to Daniel and said, "You'll have to wait. You'll have to wait. I'll have to share more about that later." In other words, the book of Revelation is not coming yet. You'll have to wait in time. But he answered an angel's question, and I think it's important for us to see the question that was asked because it relates to the nation of Israel and the concern of this angel about when all of the judgment would end against the nation of Israel because of her rebellion and her idolatry. And I think this is very, very important for us because I want you to see the nature of the judgment, but also the mercy that the Lord gives to His people, but also the importance of us to understand that God does not tolerate idolatry in any form. And the New Testament speaks to idolatry in several different forms. As a matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, it says covetousness is idolatry. And we'll share that verse perhaps at another time. But I want to read the first 7 verses with you. "And at that time shall Michael stand up." Now, Michael is the great archangel who represents what nation? Israel. Very clear in the Bible. Michael is the archangel assigned to the nation of Israel. "The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Now this is important for us to see who gets spared, who gets delivered. Those whose names are written where? In the book. Now, verse 2. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up," or close up, "the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other 2, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river." And who is that referring to? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's pictured in Daniel 10 that way, dressed in linen. All right? He's pictured there as being over the waters. He's hovering over the waters there as he speaks to Daniel. 2 angelic beings appear, and then notice. "And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long, shall it be to the end of these wonders. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and sware by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished, now get this, to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now there's some very important words in this verse of Scripture that help us to understand what is the Lord Jesus Christ saying. To scatter the power of His holy people? Well, you have to look at that word power. And you know what it is? The rebellious stubbornness. That's the word that's used there. The rebellious stubbornness of my people. When I scatter that, then it shall be completed. Let's pray. Father, bless us in this short time together tonight. I pray that You'd open our eyes to see here how important it is for us to follow Thy word. Lord, we cannot allow any rebellion in our hearts. We cannot allow any stubbornness in our hearts toward Thee. These are the things for which the nation of Israel is judged and will continue to be judged throughout the tribulation period because they would not heed Thy word. They would not listen. And You've told us in Your word that rebellion and stubbornness is as the sin of witchcraft. Lord, help us to grasp a hold of this important truth. And may we purge our hearts before Thee through the cleansing of the water of the word, the rebellious stubbornness that oftentimes is found in our hearts. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Folks, the sin of rebellion and stubbornness against God is an awful thing. I speak in chapel quite often, and I've brought this out many, many times through the years. And young people, when you are rebellious toward your parents, you're not just rebellious toward your parents, your rebellion is toward God. Because who put you under the care of your parents? God did. And whenever God's Holy Spirit knocks on your heart's door, and you turn away from that knocking, that call of the Holy Spirit of God, you're showing rebellious stubbornness to the one who will turn your soul into hell if you refuse His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, would you put that on the important list? I think so. We're living in such casual days, are we not? People are so casual with their lives and with their souls. People do such foolish things with their physical bodies. And sometimes they don't survive. A young lady was killed, an Olympic hopeful, was killed out in California, I believe it was, or Hawaii, I can't remember exactly what state it was located. But she decided that she was going to go out on the waves to continue her training in the midst of a thunderstorm, and she didn't make it. She was hit by lightning and killed. No Olympics for her. No marriage. No children. She made a very serious decision to go out on the water, which, how many times have we been warned about that? How many times have we told, don't be around water in an electrical storm? But she did it anyway, because her passion and love for surfing was the most important thing in her life. But she will not compete in the Olympics, because her passion for what she loved and what was so important to her caused her to do something extremely dangerous, which took her life. And now she's in eternity. I don't know where she's at. I have no idea. I'm not God. But I do know this. Her passion for what she loved led to that decision. And I'm going to tell you something, young people. Your passion and your love that direct your life tonight, we're not talking about in the future, we're talking about right now. The things that drive you, your loves, will determine. Now understand this, it will determine where you're going to be in 6 months or where you're not going to be in 6 months. Oh, I tell you, I've gone to a lot of funerals in my lifetime. I have embedded in my mind going to the funeral of my a 10-year-old cousin who drowned in the pond built by his own family, fishing pond. who stumbled over the end of the deck, fell into the water, didn't know how to swim at age 10. And instead of swimming up, he swam down and got tangled up in a bunch of oak limbs that were left behind by the family whenever they flooded the area, and they found his body all tangled up underneath the limbs underneath that. And I went there as a young child, and I can see it to this day because it made such an impact on me. Because you see, I was just a year younger than he was at age 9. And Mom said, let's go up to the casket. I don't want to go, Mom. You're going to come with me. I want you to see. This is what can happen. And that was my first encounter with death. And I saw his body, his bloated body, laying in that casket. This boy that was a year older than me. And you know what it came to grips with me that time? That could be me. Just stumbled into the water and drowned. Now, you say, well, are you trying to scare the kids in here? No, I'm not. I'm trying to bring a dose of reality. Because in this world, you won't get that dose. All you're going to get is, the government will make everything better. We're going to solve all your problems. And young people by the millions in this country believe it. They don't believe that there's a God. They don't believe that they're going to live somewhere forever. They do not believe that there's any judgment in the future. But I'm here to tell you there is. There is a judgment that's coming. And it's high time that we considered it. And we ought not to hide it from our kids. Do I hear an amen? We ought not to hide it from our kids. I reflect on that day, and you say, well, that was a traumatic event for you. Yes, it was. It was a life awakening moment at age 9. I awoke at age 9 to life and what else? Death. Death. I'd been swimming so many times. I learned how to swim in the pool down here. And by the way, I think it's important for kids to learn how to swim. We live in Florida. We got water all over the place. So you got to learn how to swim. And I'm so thankful that we had all of our kids swimming by age 4 so they'd know what to do. If they fell in the water, I didn't have to worry about it because they'd float back up to the top. They might cough a little bit and sputter, but at least they'd learn how to get out of that situation and live. But I want to tell you something. We need to consider these 7 verses right here. Because the question that the angel asks is not just a curious question. He is grieved over this nation, Israel, that he's watched through thousands of years. Lord, when is this all going to come to an end? When is all this going to come to an end? And Jesus turns to him. By the way, there's only a couple of times in the whole Bible that angels ask any questions. And this is the only time that we have recorded an angel asking Jesus a question. And Jesus responding, giving an answer. And this is one of those Christophanies where he appears before Daniel, speaks to him, and speaks to the angel that's there and answers his question. He said, you know what? The time of Jacob's trouble, the last half of the 7-year tribulation, will last a time, times, and a half of a time. 3.5 years. And then, whenever I have scattered, literally I have broken to pieces all of the rebellious stubbornness of my people, then I'll bring it to an end. And I'll restore them. Because you see, there can't be any competitors for the love of Jesus Christ. You know, you think about young people. You know, I'm so happy for our young people that are growing up. And one of these days, some of these young people are going to discover that there's the opposite sex. All right? And they're going to fall in love with somebody. All right? That's a good thing. I get excited today when a boy actually loves a girl. We didn't used to worry about that, did we? But in today's climate, you got to wonder and worry about it, and you better be praying and directing by God's grace. But you wouldn't want your daughter or your son competing with somebody else after rings have been exchanged for that other person's love. That's not right, is it? That's not right. If someone comes along, my wife and I have been married for almost 30 years now. And we're getting up in years now. I'm not young like I used to be. But I want to tell you something. If back in those early days somebody started coming around and hinting with my wife or whatever, it'd have been them and me. I'm not very big, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to knock some lumps on them before I go down. Because I it's called jealousy. And that's a good thing. Because we exchange rings and nobody else is going to come in between. And yet, Christian, we allow things to come between ourselves and our Lord all the time. Isn't that interesting? We would never put up with it in a marriage. We would never put up with that in any other situation, but we do it to God because we've got the world tugging at our heartstrings all the time. God says, I'm going to bring my people and I'm going to crush their love for the other gods. I'm going to crush it. And when I'm done with that, then I will restore my people. Because the other gods won't restore them. Do you get it? See the picture here? These other gods won't restore them because they're not real. But the true and living God will restore His people and will make them a fit bride for Jehovah. Now, our time is gone. But I hope I can stir your thoughts on this. I'm not done with this particular passage of Scripture because I'm going to share some things that we can learn from this particular passage here about our love for God and not letting anything or anyone come between our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there are churches all across America that are filled with people that have divided interests. And it shows. It shows in their daily life. It shows in how they talk. It shows in how they, and the things that they listen, the things that they put on their bodies, the things that they take off of their bodies. It shows divided interests, and it means they don't really love like they ought to. And this is serious business because God said, because you didn't love me, He said over and over again, just love me. Just love me. All through the book of Deuteronomy, you see that. Just love me and keep my commandments. But they didn't love. They followed after the other gods, idolatrous hearts. And as a result of that, God had to bring judgment to crush all the other loves so that He alone could be the focus of their love. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd work in our hearts. We've got some precious young people here. They're the next generation. They're the next preachers. They're the next missionaries. They're the next moms and dads who will raise up children in the years to come. Oh, it may be very difficult years. And I pray for them. Lord, help them not to have divided hearts. Help them to love Thee. To love Thee above all else. And to desire to serve Thee above all else. With nothing coming between them and Thee. Well, that doesn't mean that we can't get married and have loves that are precious to us, but it does mean that we don't let anything or anyone ever come between that relationship with Thee. And Israel is an example of a nation that allowed that to happen, not once, but many times. And God, in His everlasting love, tried to get them to come apart to Him. And finally, one day, when all their stubborn rebelliousness is beaten out of them through judgment, He will restore them to power and greatness, and they will be Jehovah's wife. What a beautiful picture is given to us in Daniel chapter 12, and I pray that we might pay attention to it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a good evening.